gift from Lucky. And I am very, very grateful for this gift. This is nice. And I actually woke up this morning and I thought, I think I'm going to die. And I didn't get there. And God heard my cry and provided me by having another job. So, very thankful for that. And you will all have something. You can get nothing out of this message. You want something. Good. We did, however, come up with a few things to spice it up a little bit. Some lunch would be good, some things like that, that we can do to make it a little better. But it looks great, and I like it. That's all that needs to be said. Number two. I am dead serious, so I'm not joking about this. Somebody's going to laugh at me, I'm joking, I'm not. I am fully aware that there are all those donuts back there on the table. Therefore, for every single person who decides that they need to go to the bathroom during this message, I will increase the message by a minute. Therefore, may be made so that the good people will get no donuts. That's the first minute, you know. And then I will start crying and that will be a problem. I am aware that they're back there. So if you get up, I do not think you have to go to the bathroom. I think you need to have a small donut. Very grateful that Jan is up visiting with us. If you did not, if you were here about 5-10 minutes ago, you missed out on hearing his last bill of this church, which we have missed. We're grateful that he's here. The donuts are from Jan, because he loves you all. So you should thank him for that when you see him, if you get to know him. Third thing you need to know this morning is, confessions of a really bad pastor. I am not well prepared for today because I spent my week instead of using brain power to prepare this message. I was irritated by the never-ending saga of a dog that I paid the price for. Started off on Monday, I went to the vet with the dog, and ended up with a cast or a splint on the dog. Which meant that the dog took up my whole day, which then turned into a bunch of whining from the dog all week, which had us going back to the vet for the dog, which then turned into Friday when I was trying to do some video recording. The dog was whining in the background, so I didn't do my video recording, and I hope you get the theme. I had a really bad attitude this week about a dog. And therefore, I chose to use my brain cells this week, being very frustrated with the dog, rather than preparing the message like I normally would. So, if it sounds like I'm frustrated and angry, it's because I am. Okay? A dog that you love your wife, but you don't appreciate the dog necessarily, should not have that much control over your life. That's just the way that should be. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me to a bunch of scriptures. Otherwise, I'm just going to put them up on the screen. I want to read the scriptures before I pray, and then we're going to ask God for some help, and then we're going to tie this all together. But his idea this morning is when Christmas present, right, becomes Christmas past. And I hope you get this concept, because I think it's super important, not just for Christmas time, but it should be for families. But the concept is important for us as Christians on a day-to-day basis. You see, God set up time in such a way that it plays in to what he says needs to happen. So grasp this. Present is right now, but so is past. You see, it happens that quick. Past is turning in. Present is turning into past, just like this all the time, is it not? And so the truth of the matter is, God makes it very clear. He says, don't focus on the past, right? And remember what I've done for you in the past, but don't focus on the past. Paul says, I forget what's behind me, right? I press on towards the goal. And God has set it up such a way that past doesn't take a long time to get to. Right? Past happens like this. So whatever happened in that thought that you just had, it's already past. It's gone. Whatever happened to that action that you just did, it's already past, it's gone. And God says, listen, in my world, there's some things about loving people, right? It's love God, love people. And in loving people, right, there's some things you need to know. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and we see, hey, listen, love is patient, love is kind, right? It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Right? It's not rude. it's not self-seeking and a bunch of other stuff, right? That God says, here's what love is and here's what it isn't. But it all fits within his idea of time. God has put it all together so that it works, so that if we pay attention, then those things become easier. Because see, whatever happened right now, it's in the past. You're not supposed to be keeping a record of wrong. You're not supposed to be dwelling on whatever happened in the past. And so therefore, it really could work that quickly, but the problem is, you and I, well, let me stress that. I'm just not that quick. Does that make sense? I'm not quick enough to let the past actually become the past. I keep the past in the present all the time. And then things get goofy. And I get mixed up. And then I have a problem. Because rather than focusing on the present, I focus on the past and I miss out on what's to come, the future. That's how God made it all work out. If I drop the past, I can pay attention to the present, and then I'm ready for the future. But as I just laid out to you, not because I wanted to, but because it was a good sermon illustration, right? When you focus on the dog, in the past, it becomes your present, and it robs you of your love, your future. So when you're a pastor who preps by thinking through constantly all week, what do you want to say? Doesn't write it down, but I think it through. What happens is past moments rob you of present, and then they rob you of future. And I'm afraid that as we look at Christmas, that's what happens. Right? I don't want to present that case to you. So look at some scriptures with me. It says this. This is how the birth of Jesus, right, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and we're to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Right? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. Right? It goes on and says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Right? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. I want to stop there, and I want you to grasp this with me, because it works like this. Joseph found out what? What did he find out? This is where somebody answered. Yeah, he found out that his fiance was expecting. Now, Joseph was smart enough to know that it wasn't him who was the father for some reason. However, he figured that out. He figured it out, right? That it wasn't his baby. And so what did Joseph want to do? He wanted to divorce her quietly. Now, he had options, ladies and gentlemen. The first option was he could have had her stoned, or he could have had her killed. Right? But instead, because Joseph was a good man, a godly man, he decided to do it in a much better way. But he decided to do what had always been done. You see, Joseph was relying on what had been done in the past for his presence. You get that? He knew what was to happen. His fiance was pregnant. It wasn't his child. So guess what happened? She and the baby died. But that's the rule. That's what could have happened. But instead, because he's just a better man, he said, no, we'll just kind of put them out. We'll divorce them. I'll move on and I'll have a woman that I deserve. But that's pretty much how it works. But notice that in the Christmas story, what happens? God comes in and he wreaks havoc on Christmas past. With a Christmas present that changes. And it's going to change life forever. You see, what happens is, if you and I are careful, our Christmas past is what runs our Christmas present, and then we end up doing what we've always done why we have always done it. And we miss out on what God has for the present. You see, if Joseph had followed what he had done, what would have happened? He would have killed the Messiah. He would have killed God's plan for you and I. Now, we're smart enough to know that God probably would never allow that to happen, right? And he intervenes here. But what happens is Joseph has a chance to do things the way that he always does. Let me tell you the greatest object lesson that happened today. There are some. Well, here's one. I walk in to the front doors, and lo and behold, to my surprise, because I was snowed in on Wednesday, I forgot to mention, I was a little irritated on Wednesday. Right? So we got 3 feet of snow, but you all got inches, right? So I walk in the front doors, and lo and behold, to my surprise, my Christmas past was recapped. Why? Somebody tell me why. When I walked through the front doors of the church, the nativity scene, which is always right there, was not right there. It was right there.
Stand for your
I don't know if you're okay with that. But I can guarantee you I was not acting. I missed the text. I missed the phone call. I missed the email. I missed the person. I missed all of that conversation. Nobody said, hey, Andy, what'd you think about this? So I walked into this church, and immediately my Christmas past, which was going to be my Christmas present, just somebody just blew that up, right? And you look at that, and you know the first words that actually came out of our mouth was, hey, kind of like that. It's kind of neat. It's kind of different. But then what happened was, I walked immediately in here and looked for what's here. Because if that's there, what's here? And see, that's where the problem happens, is a lot of times we're not against something being moved or changed. We just want to know what's taking its place. Right? And so in this whole Christmas story, we've got this whole idea that God is changing the way that things work. Because see, in the past, here's what happened. The Israelites wanted something. Whether they needed it or not, they didn't want something. So what would happen is, they would want to follow other gods. And that led them away from their God. And then their God would say, that's not okay with me. And then punishment would happen, consequences would happen, and then the Israelites would get it. Kind of, sort of, maybe. What they really wanted was to be free of the consequences, right? And the punishments. And so they would cry out to their God, that he would take away the punishment, and what would happen? Eventually, God would hear their cry, and he would take away the consequences of the punishment and give them another chance, only for this unbelievable process to repeat over and over and over and over. And we, in modern church world, we stand here and we say, we would never have done that. Those terrible Israelites, how dumb were they? That they constantly walked away from God. And I would say to you, just speaking for me, I have no right to throw any stones at the Israelite people. Right? The second God takes away the things in my life that I want him to, I start walking in another direction. Why? Because they don't need God. And sometimes I don't actually want God. I want what's out there. I start following that. And then what happens is, God allows something to happen in my life, and then my attention immediately snaps back. That's why you won't see people in church for a while, and you see them in church for a while, and you won't hear from people for a while, and you hear from them for a while, if they're in your family. You know, those people, when they go like a year and a half without talking to you, and then all of a sudden they call you up and you're their best friend. And that's how it works, and that's what the Israelites were doing with God. They got in here for them for a while, and then all of a sudden they call back, hey, God, I don't really like this. Can you fix it, right? And so all of a sudden, God, in the middle of all of this, he decides to change the parameters. He decides to change things up. And he says to them, I'm not going to give you what you want anymore. I'm going to give you what you need. What you need. And you see, from that moment on, that's how God is work. God's gift to us is what we need. It's not about what we necessarily want. I'm not saying that God's not up in heaven saying, hey, if you want to apply to that, right? God isn't mean. He gives good gifts. That's what the Bible tells us, right? He's a good father. He knows how to give good gifts. But what God did was he looked down and he said, I'm going to give you what you need. But here's what happened. I want to read some other scriptures to you. You can keep going with this. Maybe I'll read through one. It says this. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him, that means Jesus, right? I'm in chapter 2, it says this, when King Herod heard that he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem was, I couldn't have that power. Like, I guess I had that power. I was disturbed this week, and my whole household was disturbed. Right? King Herod was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem was disturbed. Why? Because when the king isn't happy, nobody's happy, right? When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born, right? In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Look at this, and you see that Herod, right, got a message from the Magi. Can you see him? They told him what was going on. Herod was concerned enough about it to check into it, right? And so he goes to the people who would know, and they fill him in on what's to be. The problem is, they didn't believe it. They didn't act as if they believed it. Because what they wanted and what they were looking for was something different than what God was sending. So at this Christmas time, when we get to make our lists, I mean, probably all of us sitting here have made some kind of a list, right? We make a list for what we want. And God says, how about we give you what you need? So what if we change Christmas around and instead of it being about what you wanted, it became about what we don't need? It'll be totally different because we love Christmas time because it's about what I want. I get to make a list for somebody and they choose what they would like to get me off of their list. Not all of what they would like to get me. Not because they're thinking about me and they see something and say, oh, I'd be perfect for this person. But listen, I did not tell Lexi that I wanted a red top. Right? She was shopping. She looked at the tie and said, I want to get that for Pastor Andy. I'm not really sure why those things hooked up. I'm thankful for it, but I'm not really sure how it got there. But what if she gave it to me and I said, wrong color? My list has a blue one. My list has a green one or a yellow one. Right? We do that all the time. We open up gifts from people, they say, wrong color, wrong size, wrong. And the idea is that somebody actually has looked to us and decided, hey, this is something that they would like. But the problem is our response is not always that, is it? We're not always appreciative in nature. This is what happened. And God said, I'm fulfilling this. I'm fulfilling my promise. Here is my gift to you. It's what you need. And you have people who are consistently saying, what? That's not how we've done it before. That's not how we imagined it. That's not what we wanted. It's the wrong color. So definitely in Jesus' case, it's the wrong size. It didn't come in a man's size, right? An adult man with a sword and a white horse with a purple coat. Right? It didn't work that way. It came in a baby with swaddling clothes. Totally not what we wanted. What we wanted wasn't God to come down. What we wanted was God to take care of the Romans. We wanted God to get us out of this mess. We didn't want to be captives anymore. We didn't really want God. We just don't want the Romans. We want God to help us. And too often at Christmas time, isn't that our thought process? We don't really want what God wants to give us. We just want things to be better around us. Right? What if we knew, listen, we pray all the time. I've heard stories even today, talking to Jan about several people that have passed away, a little baby that passed away. And you're hearing these stories. And you say, well, I just want God to fix all of those things this Christmas. Why do people have to pass away? Why do people have to get sick? I've read an update on Micah every single day this week. I go to it and look for it. And every single day, it's the same thing. I've got this incredible family in Maria and Jeremy who are trying to post hope out there for people while they're living in the midst of chaos. Check that out. They're presenting to us who are watching and listening and looking for them. Maria's finding all kinds of things that have hope. And she's giving credit to all kinds of people while living a complete nightmare. I don't get that. What I want is for God to do what? I just want Micah to be healed back so we can live a normal life. What if the God of the universe says, I don't want him to be normal? I've never wanted him to be normal. I've got a special plan and a special purpose for this child, just like he did Jesus. I don't want to do it your way. I don't want things to just be easier for you. I don't want to just smooth things over. I want to do it a different way. And over and over in the Christmas story, we see this goes on. It says this, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to them, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Check that out. I think when we read the Christmas story, we miss out on this. Partly because you guys just don't think the way I think. Right? If you would like take one verse and be able to talk about it for an hour, you would get there. But that's okay, you'll get there. Right? But check this out. If you're standing and this guy says, I'm Gabriel and I stand in front of God. Like that's a pretty cool thing to have happen to you. Right? Somebody says, I spend all day in front of God. Like I'm with God. And oh, by the way, now I'm standing in front of you, that should get your attention. Right? And we have access to that God. Right? It goes on and says, and now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will be true at their appointed time. So I need you to check this out. A lot of times we're praying about things, we're asking for things in this Christmas season, we're wanting things to be different, right? So we're asking God, but we do not want. We don't believe. So God says, listen, there's a consequence to not believing. Doubt has consequences. We need to be, right, like the person who said, Lord, help my unbelief. And so we need to acknowledge to God, I'm asking for this Christmas season. I'm asking you to heal my family. I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to do that. But the truth is, I don't really believe that. The truth is, I don't really believe that you want to do it. It's not that I don't believe that you can do it. I just don't believe that I'm significant enough for you to want to do this. So we're open, we're honest, and we cry out to God and we say, God, help my unbelief, right? So we see a questioning, and God says, listen, the consequences aren't that it's not going to happen. The consequences are, you're just not going to talk until it happens, right? And so then it goes on and it says this, hopefully, how will this be, Mary asked, the angel, right? Since I am a virgin, right? Goes on, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail. If you have a Bible and you underline, I highly suggest that you underline that. I highly suggest that you underline it, and then you star it, and then you re-underline it, and you restar it like every day. That you read it every day. No word from God will ever fail. So here's the deal. You have Mary and you have Elizabeth, both who have been promised what? To have children. One is old, she can't have children anymore. One is young, and she shouldn't be having children because she's not married. Two extremes that God decides to use in his story, right? To change what happens. You see, the way it's always been is no longer going to be the way that it is. God's about ready to change Christmas past by changing Christmas present. The way that we look at things, it's going to change. And God says to these two women, it's going to change. One of you is going to have a baby when everybody around you is going to say you're too old to have a baby. And one of you is going to have a baby and you're going to face the idea of a lot of people judging you. Right? And it's all in my mind. So we have to be careful, because if we're not careful, our Christmas past ruins our Christmas present and begin to doubt what God is doing. You see that? It's up to us to fix it. It's the way it's always been. I'm not going to read the scriptures to you, but it goes on. One of the other examples is that in the story of Elizabeth, right? When they ask her and her husband what they're to name him, right? She says, who's this young man to be? Who did they name? What's the name? John, right? So John. And when the people hear this, what do they say? No one in your family has that name. No one's ever been named John before. Why are you naming him John? See, it's always been this way. It's always been that we name our babies after people who have been named. And why are you picking John? You see, if you look at the Christmas story over and over and over, I challenge you this week to read it. Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2. I pray that you'll read it and look for this. The fact that over and over, God says, this is the way it's been. This is how you've done things, but I'm changing it. I'm changing your Christmas present. But the truth of the matter is, everybody from the teachers of the law to the average citizen, what they really just wanted to change was their circumstances. So God looked down and said, I'm less concerned with the outward, and I'm more concerned with the inward. I want to give you a chance to change in here, not just the circumstance. So listen, you bought the ball around this morning. Here's what I really want you to pull out of this. Right? I want you to pull two things out of it. The first one is, second object lesson that I got this morning, which was by far the greatest object lesson that I've probably gotten in here. I can't tell you how it spoke to me, and probably some of you may or may not have heard it, but we should have heard it. So I'm sitting in the back, and I'm sitting at the table, right, doing my duty as a pastor and writing a card, right? And Justin and Melissa walked in with their kids, right? And as one of them comes in, I hear, yes, I get to play with the green tractor. How about if every time we came into the church, if every time you came into the presence of God, you were like, yes, I get to be here. I get to experience God. You see, for him, experiencing church is what a green tractor right now. Praise the Lord. Somebody's going to be writing me, calling me, telling me there shouldn't be about green trackers. I'm fully aware that it shouldn't be about green trackers. Right? And it shouldn't be about Paula Donuts either. Right? It should be about God. But if what keeps you in this building, you are excited about it, well then guess what? God will use a green tractor to have you excited about coming to church. I want you to understand this Christmas. There's a lot of reasons just sitting right here this morning. There are a lot of reasons to be unexcited about Christmas. There are a lot of reasons to be disappointed. There are some Christmas presents this year that are going to be totally different than every other Christmas past for people who are sitting there. It's just going to be different. But if we could enter this Christmas season with this idea, yes, I get to play with it. Yes, I get to experience God's gift again anew. Yes, I get to read the Christmas story for the 75th year. And it's going to be new and it's going to be exciting. We could enter with that attitude. Yes, I get to go to Walmart shopping. Oh, God help me out with that. Yes, I get to go out with my wife. Yes, I get to spend time with friends. Yes, I get to spend time with family. And I can't wait. Why do I get to do that? Because God's given me the opportunity to change the inside. That's the second thing. This Christmas season, it's not about God changing your outward stuff. So, listen, I pray just as much as you guys do that God would be with my family, that God would provide for us, that God would protect for us, that God would do all the things that we want God to do for us. I have my Christmas list just like everybody else. But what God cares about, what He cared about from the very beginning is this and only this, that He gave you and I an opportunity to change the inside. That we would have a chance to be able to be in the presence of God like Gabriel. But what's going to happen is this, mark my words. If you're stuck in that Christmas past, you're going to miss Christmas present. That's that's for sure. If you're stuck on whatever's happened back here, how you've always done it, or this is what's happened, I told you, I think last week, it was different for us this Thanksgiving. We always set up our Christmas tree on the Thursday night of Thanksgiving. We go to my mom's, and tomorrow, or we go somewhere else, and then we come home, and we set up the Christmas tree, and then with the Timothy go shopping. This whole Black Friday thing is creating havoc in our Christmas present. Because my son announces that he wants to go out shopping on the Thursday night. Tradition, like years of tradition, right? Don't be afraid of what God is happening in your Christmas so that you can enjoy this Christmas present. Understand this, because this is just true, that this Christmas present is going to turn into a Christmas present. That's how God works. This moment just passed. You can't get it back. Some of you have been listening to me for the last 25, 30 minutes and gone, I'm never getting this time back. Right? Some of us should be looking at the time that we're spending and we say, I'm not getting it back, so I better be able to apply it to now. We better do something more. This Christmas, pay attention to your Christmas moments. You're not getting them back. And if you rely too much on what's happened, or you stay too long in any one moment, you're going to miss out on the next moment and the next moment. Don't let Christmas pass around your Christmas present. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Lord, we're thankful that in your Christmas story, over and over, you did things that were different. Whether it was talking to a bunch of shepherds, whether it was having a baby being born in a manger, whether it's about angels, whether it's about using young girls, old men, but whatever the case, just over and over the story. He just did things that were different, that people didn't expect, that people didn't want. But Lord, you gave people what they need. So this Christmas may be about what we need, not about what we want. May we not set up ahead of time what our Christmas should look like, but let you fill it in. Lord, we're thankful for what you've done. We're thankful for your gift. We're thankful for Jesus. Lord, we pray that we have accepted your gift, but we allow your gift to be applied to our journey.
Number 265.